Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel of John. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. It's page number 1660 in your pew Bibles if you want to turn to it there. You also have a bulletin insert that has some sermon notes and fill-in-the-blanks outline to follow along. And you're welcome to do that. Before I get to reading the scripture, I want to share a story with you that actually was passed along from Dr. Bill Bright, the late former director, founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, CRU. And he told this story of a famous oil field called the Yates Pool. It's kind of a rich, poor man story, and Bill Bright tells this story. During the Depression, this field was a sheep ranch owned by a man named Yates. Mr. Yates wasn't able to make enough on his ranching operation to pay the principal and interest on the mortgage, so he was in danger of losing his ranch. With little money for clothes and food, his family, like many others during the Depression, had to live on government subsidies. Day after day, as he was grazing his sheep over the rolling West Texas hills, he was no doubt greatly troubled about how he would pay his bills. Then a seismographic crew from an oil company came into the area and told him there might be oil on his land. They asked permission to drill a wildcat well, and he signed a lease contract at 1,115 feet. They struck a huge oil reserve. The first well came in at 80,000 barrels a day. Many subsequent wells were more than twice as large. In fact, 30 years after the discovery, a government test of one of the wells showed it still had the potential flow of 125,000 barrels of oil a day. And Mr. Yates owned it all. Kind of reminds me of Beverly Hillbillies, Zed Clampett, right? Bubbling crude and all that. Anyhow, here's Mr. Yates. And the day he purchased the land, he received the oil and mineral rights, yet he was living on relief. Now he was a multi-millionaire living not in poverty, but in wealth. You see, the problem, he didn't know that there was oil even when he owned it. I think that many Christians today are kind of like Mr. Yates. Though they have salvation through Jesus Christ, they're still living in spiritual poverty, because they haven't begun to live in the power of God's presence within them through the Holy Spirit. It's as though we are living in the land of Christianity, but unaware that beneath the surface of things, in the depths of our souls, there are riches at our disposal that God has made available to us. That's what this message this morning is all about. As we continue our sermon series on God is Closer Than You Think, a book by John Ortberg, author and pastor. And by the way, we still have a few copies of the study guide. If you want to plug into a small group during this Lenten season, it's not too late. And I have a couple copies of the companion book that's so well written that I reference as we go along. 2 weeks ago, we talked about God's promise and great desire to be with us. From cover to cover, the Bible speaks of how God steps into our lives to have a relationship with us. And last week we talked about how it's our choice to close the gap to be with Him. We accept Christ as our Savior and continue to close the gap as we daily live in relationship in His presence and in every area of our life. This morning I want to think about His presence, the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. In the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is described as an image of the river of life, streams of mercy and comfort flowing within us. It's a curious statement that Jesus makes in John chapter 16, verse 7, as He's gathered them in the upper room. You remember this, the great discourse that Jesus gave, the teaching He gave there in the upper room to His disciples. He said, "I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor or the Comforter or the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." Jesus predicting that He is leaving. The disciples are grieving as they hear this word in their shock and dismay. Jesus says, "You know, it's a good thing that I'm going away." "Huh? How does that work out, Lord?" Well, Jesus said, He's telling them that it's better to live in the Holy Spirit's era, in the time of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, than to walk on earth with Him. That's amazing. That's a remarkable teaching. Almost incomprehensible then and now. But the point is that if you want to be close to God, you better know and you better be filled with His Holy Spirit. This Spirit whom He was talking about. Today we want to talk about who is the Holy Spirit and how we can experience His mercy and His comfort. Streams of living water. Living waters, Jesus uses this image of a river. Living waters, the Holy Spirit flowing in us and through us as living waters. The key verses are our text this morning, which you probably were wondering if I was going to forget to read. But no, John chapter 7, beginning with verse 37, our text and key verses for the day. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scriptures has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this, He meant the Spirit whom those who believed in Him would later receive. Now, I can't read these verses and think about this theme without thinking about a great song that we sing with the kids of Vacation Bible School. "I've got a river of life flowing out of me." How many know that song? Raise your hand. You know what? I'm not buying it. And you know what? We're going to sing it. You know, I can't think of a song like this and not sing it, even in the middle of a sermon. And Samantha's not here. Oh, she escaped out to Sunday school. But Judy Tomes is here, and I'm going to invite her to come over. And should we let the... it's on hers. She said stand up. I wasn't. There's some motions, which you don't have to do if you don't know the song, but it's much more fun if you do. "I've got a river of life flowing out of me." Here we go. You know, you got to sing this to enjoy it. Here we go. "I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captive. I'm free! I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well. my soul. Spring up a well, splish splash, make me whole. Spring up a well, whoosh, give to me that life abundant. Let's do it one more time. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives. I'm free. I've got a river of life flowing out. Spring up a well in my soul. Spring up a well, splish splash, make me whole. Spring up a well, whoosh, give to me that life abundantly. Amen. What? Thank you. You may be seated. All right. Well, at the very least, you were amused by us singing. Okay. You just have to sing the scriptures sometimes. The images of streams and rivers, living waters in the scripture, a spiritual reality of the Holy Spirit's presence, bringing life to our lives. Psalm 46 verse 4 says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. He is in the midst of them. Come thirsty, my friend. But don't stay thirsty, my friend. Right? As the deer pants for streams of water, we sang it from Psalm 42. So my soul longs for you, O God. Take a drink of the living water. In Jeremiah 17, we see this picture, this image. For blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. Does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. In other words, life and nourishment and all kinds of good things to the plants, to the trees, to the livestock, to the people of the land. Take a drink of this living water. It provides ultimate and total satisfaction all the way to the point of the end of all things in Revelation chapter 22, flowing all the way through the scriptures to the end of the Bible. Revelation 22 verses 1 and 2, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great city of God. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of nations. The real fountain of life, fountain of youth. Take a drink. Are you going with the flow of the Spirit today? Are you filled with His life? The life of the Spirit. The life of the Spirit is abundant and free, even now in this life. Life in the Spirit means the blessing of promised prosperity. Promised prosperity, not material wealth and prosperity, but the wealth of the Holy Spirit. As our initial story, the analogy of the Yates pool, describes the wealth of God flowing in us. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that more abundantly. He doesn't just drip, drip, drip His life in us, but it's gushing, pouring, prosperous. Can't wait to get to heaven? Well, we have a taste, a foretaste of glory divine, living in God's presence through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, abundant life here and now on earth. Yes, eternal life beginning now all the way carrying through forever and eternity in heaven, but even now, the abundance of life itself. Jesus made the way to getting people into heaven after they die. But the Holy Spirit starts with getting people into life. And that life begins with a decision to trust Him and to be filled with His Spirit. Life in the Spirit means being immersed in inexpressible joy. Inexpressible joy in His presence, like heaven on earth. 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit means immersed in inexpressible joy, and it means being saturated with His amazing love. 1 Peter 1:22 says, you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have a sincere love for your brothers. Life in the Spirit means we are empowered to love one another with this agape love. And in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says in a prayer for the church, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amazing. Amazing love. We sang that also. Perhaps and hopefully you've said, yes, I want Jesus in my life. And at first, the beginning of the Christian life is an exhilarating wave of new life. But for many, that honeymoon period of feelings of newness, the process of spiritual change can stall. It seems to get bogged down with the normalcy of life in this world for many Christians. The ordinariness of our daily disciplines, the battle with the world, the flesh and the devil daily, causes a gap between what I'm supposed to do and what I'm really actually experiencing. Let's think for a minute about that difference between what we know we should be and our actual experience. People have different ways to deal with this gap in their Christian life. I know I'm supposed to be this. How come I'm not feeling that in my life? Real and common Christian life. Some deal with this gap, closing the gap strategy by trying harder, working harder at spiritual disciplines. Some people get up earlier, pray harder, serve more, study longer, try harder. That works out well in the short term, but it's hard to sustain a performance-oriented Christian life. Our sanctification, our growing in holiness and love is meant to be by the power of God through the Holy Spirit. And it's by God's grace and grace alone. Just as when we're first saved, God meets us by His grace. God continues to sustain us by His grace. It's not a matter of us working harder, but us flowing in the life of the Spirit, the river of life flowing out of me. You need the Spirit's power. You need a fresh sense of the Holy Spirit's presence. Jesus comes to offer you this better way. Some try harder. Some simply pretend to fill this gap, to somehow close the gap between who they want to be and who they experience themselves to be. You know you're supposed to be different, so fake it until you make it, some people say. You come to church with a false smile on your face on Sunday mornings. Christians don't get discouraged or depressed. After all, I can't be, so I'll fake it. Christians are always happy, right? Isn't that the way we're supposed to be? Well, John Ortberg says these Christians are good at impression management or appearance management, simply pretending. One woman, John Ortberg knows, had a son who was going through a severe clinical depression. His depression violated his family's image of everything they were trying to portray as a Christian family. And do you know what this woman counseled to her son? She told him to smile and fake happiness, for fake happiness is better than genuine depression. What? Poor advice. For the great pretenders, even in churches, when everything gets quiet, we're still alone. Alone with God, we're not alone. But the gap remains. Well, others try rededication when we feel like we're not living what we're supposed to be in the Spirit. Rededicate your life. And annual revivals down through the history of the church, camp meetings every summer, camps and conferences, going from retreat to retreat, from one mountaintop experience to another in spirituality, every time rededicating self to God. One of the places that you'll especially see in some churches where this takes place is in youth groups. And again, John Ortberg experienced this quite often as he was growing up. He writes about, here's how he describes it. He says, we'd be sitting around the campfire at camp and a speaker would tell a real emotional story. He'd say, last year there was a group of teenagers who were driving home from this very camp who got in a car crash and they all died. Every year, this same story. By the end of high school, it was amazing that we had any teenagers left to go to camp. Apparently, they kept dying in crashes on the way home. Kind of makes you nervous about going to that particular camp. But rededication didn't close the gap between who we knew we were supposed to be and who we were. Rededication. Others, well, there's nothing wrong with a recommitment and rededication, but that's not the whole story. Some people trying to close the gap do so by switching spiritual venues, trying a different church or a different fellowship. Maybe a change of scenery. The feelings are gone. The grass must be greener. On the other side, it's like a giant game of musical pews. I've seen it time and time again. For example, someone grows up in a non-charismatic church and think, well, I'll just go to a charismatic church, when they take a different approach to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and worship, it will close the gap. Or some people think that switching to a church with deep theology, with heartier Bible teaching, which is all good. All of this is good. But that's not the rest of the story. Some people think if they switch to a church that has a different style of evangelism, if I just went to another kind of church with better worship music, maybe that would close the gap. Jesus has a better way. Some people just simply give up. They give up trying to close this gap. They tried all the different solutions and feel completely discouraged or hopeless. Inwardly, they decide that Christian life and growing in the abundance of the Holy Spirit is really not possible. Yet they stay a Christian. They continue to go to church. They maintain involvement in church life, but it just seems like daily maintenance, going through the steps. They know that they'll be going to heaven when they die, but they decide not much can be done here on earth to close that gap. They secretly give up. But Jesus has a better way. This morning, I want to invite you to open up your heart to the Holy Spirit's presence, that He might flow in you, refresh you with a fresh draft of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter. Jesus promised, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Comforter to be with you forever, the Holy Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He will be with you and will be in you." There's the secret. Be refreshed. Be renewed with a renewed mind by the power of the Holy Spirit, the great Holy Teacher. Be revived in the life of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, His presence in you. Take a fresh drink of this living water. The Lord holds it out to you this morning. It's available for you. Come and drink and find restoration of your soul. He restoreth my soul. Go with the flow of the Spirit, for God is closer than you think. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the power of Your presence promised to each one of us who believe. Lord, we ask that You would come and take away all the staleness in our spiritual lives, move to refresh, revive, renew our spirits as we walk with You, as we talk with You along each and every way. Come, breathe life into our hearts afresh, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.